remembered what I was preaching tonight, but every song she sung kind of lined right up with it. So if y'all don't get it tonight, it ain't my fault, and it ain't Jenny's fault, and it ain't God's fault. John chapter 12, very familiar scripture. John chapter 11 ends with the miracle of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Can't you just imagine that scene? They're crying. I mean, they're mourning. Mary and Martha is just distraught because Lazarus had died, and they were waiting on Jesus. They had sent for Jesus. Now they feel all down. They feel distraught. They feel rejected. They feel like that Jesus probably didn't love them like he should have. If he loved them like he should, he'd have showed up when he should have. But guess what? Jesus come on the scene, amen. Their hearts are rejoicing. They are just ecstatic because of what's happened in their life. Amen. It's sad to think this, though. Sometimes it takes us going through the hardest times in our life to really bring out the praise and the worship. Whereas if we'd have been praising and worshiping the whole time, we might not have had to go through that. But now we come to John chapter 12. Let's look at verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was that had been dead. Somebody ought to shout right there. Whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Let me just entertain this right there. That word him right there, you could put Jesus. Everything that is done in the next few verses is done for Jesus. Okay? They made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had a bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Lord, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the reading of your word. Thank you for the songs that's been sung, God. God, and I pray, God, you'd help us today. Help us tonight, God, to get minds focused on you, God. Lord, this passage of scripture, this supper was made for Jesus. God, we've come in tonight, God, focusing on you, Lord. God, I pray, God, you go to every pew right now. I pray, God, that everybody in here would focus in on how good Jesus has been to them in their life, God. Have your way right now. Encourage us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Like I said, John chapter 11 ended with the miracle of Lazarus being raised. John chapter 12 starts out with a meal and worship. Before another sermon was preached, before another song was done, before another miracle was performed, there was worship. Get what I'm saying? Before anything else was done, there was worship. Some things in life invite worship. Some things in life demand worship. I'm going to say that again. Some things in life invite worship, but some things in life demand worship. I'm just going to tell you, when God shows up and heals you of cancer, that ain't one of them times you want to come to church and just say, thank you, Jesus. When God comes down and answers your prayer, that ain't one of them times you just want to ease in and ease back out. When God comes down and answers a prayer, when God takes care of a fever that your child had, when God takes care of cancer, when God saves one of your lost loved ones, when God brings you back from the depths of sin and sets your feet on a solid rock, that ain't one of them times you want to come to church and just sit there like a bump on a pickle. Some things invite, sometimes we invite worship. Sometimes God demands worship. Every once in a while, you ought to come into this house and you just cannot help it. You just got to stand and raise your hands. You just got to testify. You just got to praise him for how good he's been to you. Amen. This was one of them times. I don't know about y'all, but I ain't never seen God raise somebody from the dead. I've seen him bring them back right there close. But I'm just going to be honest with you, Brother Ralph. If I'd have been there and Lazarus would have got raised from the dead, I'd have had a spell. I'm just telling you. Like I heard one old guy say, I'd have shouted all over them hypocrites. It demanded worship. So this is where we're at. We're setting the tone right here. I'm going to say this again. Y'all have heard me quote this many times. Preacher Jack Lasseter said one time, the prayer is being occupied with a need. Praise is being occupied with a blessing. But worship is being occupied with God. Amen. So they come in. Somebody said this. Somebody said worship is just responding to the greatness of God. How good's God been to you? How many times has he showed up for you? Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithful and true. What's he done wonderful in your life? How many times has he showed up for you? I'm just going to tell you, sometimes when the title of the message, when worship is a must, sometimes you ought to just come in and you can't help it, amen? You say, well, preacher, why do you stand up all the time on that front seat? Because I knew what she was singing about. Amen? I knew. When she was singing about holy, 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 I could just see those angels going around that throne. And I'm telling you right now, folks, every once in a while, you ought to just upset somebody you stand, you set beside, and just raise your hands, stand to your feet, and just worship God. And don't worry about who's looking at you. Don't worry about what they're saying. It don't matter. Don't you just look at just a few things. Worship is a must when you've been brought back to life. Worship is a must when you've been brought back to life. We find this story, we know it in verse 1 and 2. Then 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead, there made him, Jesus, a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at a table. Lazarus wasn't preaching. Lazarus wasn't singing. Lazarus wasn't doing anything. Lazarus just showed up, glory to God. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, when you raise from the dead, you just show up and things is going to pick up. I'm just telling you right now, if Dallas dies and Jesus raises his from the dead, every time he walks through the back doors, church is going to be on. All of y'all, everybody look up at me real good. Stephen, he raised you from the dead. He brought you out of sin. He placed your feet on a solid rock. Every time we come into his house, we ought to be shouting and praising God for where God brought us from. I was studying this. I wasn't sure, but I was sure hoping that Al was going to be here tonight. David kind of got into a little bit this morning. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I knew what I was preaching tonight. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, every time Al walks through the doors, I think it's time to have church, glory to God. Every time I'm sitting in Sunday school and Al walks into Sunday school, I think it's time to have church, amen. Look what God can do. When Mary and Martha looked over, all they had to do was look over and say, see Lazarus, Tony, hey, the shout's on, glory. When you've been raised from the dead, that's a must worship experience right there, amen. He came in, he just showed up, and church was on. When you've been dead and Jesus called you out and Jesus called you up, the very presence becomes worship. That's why I say, Al, every time I get around you, son, glory to God. And I look out and I see prayers answered. When I see you walk in the door, every time Ashley Banks walks in this church, all I can see is a prayer answered, amen. Just show up. Just show up and it's time to have church. Amen. Lazarus worshiped by living. He was faithful. Church traditions says that Lazarus went on to become a great missionary. His testimony, can you imagine? Every time he tried to testify to somebody, I ain't supposed to be here. I was dead and Jesus raised me from the dead. Can't you imagine? Everywhere he went, church broke out. Worship looks different. Now listen. Worship looks different, but comes from the same gratitude. Verse 2 and 3 says this. There they made him a supper. Everything was about Jesus, okay? Make sure you get that. Made him a supper. And Martha served. Lazarus was with him, sat at a table, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Martha served. Lazarus sat at a table, and Mary worshiped. Everybody was enjoying it. Everybody was there. The supper was for Jesus. Martha had a part in it, amen. Mary had a part in it. Lazarus just shows up. Y'all going to get that in a minute. I'm going to say that in a minute. Somebody going to shout. Lazarus just showed up. When somebody is up here singing, when the band is playing, and somebody's up here singing with the band, amen, just say, I'll just say Robert or Taylor or somebody like that, or Jeannie or Olivia, they're up here singing, and the power of God gets to moving, amen, and some of y'all get the can't help it, amen. And you just come down to the altar, you just raising your hand, you just praising the Lord. You know what that does? The Brother Ralph up there playing that steel, Brother Ralph gets a little bit quicker on that steel. David thumps the bass just a little bit harder. And Juan's playing the piano just a little bit harder. You know what they're doing? They are serving. They're doing the Martha part, glory to God. And you just show up. Mary did the worshiping. But it was all for Jesus. See, we come into God's house. Everybody ain't got, listen, I know I get on you bad. I know I do. About standing up and worshiping and shouting. I know, everybody don't act like I do, and I understand that. And if Clint ever started acting like I do, I'd probably fall out. I wish he did. I wish everybody would jump up and have a fit. I wish every once in a while we just have a running spell. But everybody don't do that. And I understand that, but it all works together. Y'all have heard me talk about this, but all through the years, I'll never forget, Dennis Cato sitting right back there. I mean, you could have a shouting spell, some people be jumping up, having a fit, hollering amen, and Dennis just look at me. He'd look at me with a big old grin, and he might well have been jumping pews. Amen. I'm just telling you, folks, it all works together. You might not worship like I do. You might not shout like I do. You might not get loud like I do. But you worship in your own way where you're at. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. But every once in a while, you ought to raise your hand. Every once in a while, you ought to feel a tear. Every once in a while, you ought to come down to the God, to the altar. Not that you got anything to pray about. That you just want to raise your hands and say, Lord, I love you. Hey, it all looked different. But it all worked together. Together, amen. Chris Tomlin said this. Worship where God isn't moved by the quality of our voices, but by the condition of our hearts. Worship ain't about the quality of our voices, but the condition of our hearts. See, and the thing about it is, every time we come to God's house, every time we get in here, it's different. Listen, I'm just going to be honest with you. There have been times that we come in and Tony and Nancy have been burdened down about something. And Tony and Nancy's on the altar and everybody's praying. There have been times we come in that Melvin's been burdened down about something. And everybody's praying. And there have been times that David and Jenny and times that we've all been there. And we come in and Mike's been burdened and we come in and God answers that prayer and Mike's worshiping and Mike's praising God. But guess what? Somebody on this side's going through a hard time then. But if you can go ahead and just lift your hand just a little bit, hey, the same gratitude, because you know he did it for Tony and you know he did it for Melvin and you know he did it for Mike. You know he's going to do it for you. Don't you know when Lazarus walked in, somebody said, my God, if he could do that, my little problem ain't nothing. It all come from the same place. But it was all about him. Don't forget that. It was all about him. True worship is costly, but cannot be calculated. Verse 3, then Mary took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. We all know this. It was worth about a year's wages. But the thing about it is, I know what my worship cost because I know where God brought me from. When I'm up here preaching or we're up here singing and I see Al stand up with his hands up in the air, I got some idea, but I don't know how much Al's worship cost because Al knows where he brought him from. When we're in here and I see Miss Geraldine with her hand up in the air, she's gone through a lot in the last few years, but God's still good. So I know, she knows what her worship cost. Mary understood what this was. Mary knew the exact cost. See, Judas was just estimating. But you got to understand, I know what he's done in my life. I know the prayers he's answered in my life. I know he was there when I got shot. I know he was there when I went through the shootouts. I know he was there when I had cancer. I know God was there every time I needed him. So when I come into God's house, don't worry about what I'm doing. You worry about where you at. You worry about what it cost you, amen. I know what my worship cost me. Mary knew exactly what she was doing. Amen. When she poured it out on Jesus, she knew exactly what she was doing. She wasn't holding nothing back. Amen. She was giving it all. And the thing about it is, this worship got everybody's attention. Everybody in the house could smell it. When you come into God's house and you worship and you honoring God, everybody knows what's going on. They might not like it. They might not agree with it. But they know what's going on. Somebody said this. When you turn your worry into worship, God turns your battles into blessings. When you turn your worry into worship, God will turn your battles into blessings. Folks, I'm just telling you, it's all about him. We got to lift him up. Worship is always going to be criticized by those that don't understand. Verse 4 through 6, then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bear that was put therein. You don't have to act like that in church. You ain't got to raise your hands in church. I know you ain't got to raise your hands in church, but I like to do it. I know you ain't got to say, holler out and shout amen, but I like doing it. I know you ain't got to stand up and wave your hands around, but I like doing it. I know the choir ain't got to get up there and sing and act all undignified like we do sometimes, but I like doing it. Judas said, well, this is just a waste. Why are you doing this? Because I love him. And I want to pour out my praise on him. Nobody made her, Kevin, do what she did. That wasn't something Jesus demanded. There was not something written down in the old law that said you had to go get a year's worth of ointment and pour it out on the rabbi. That ain't there. But she did it. See, sometimes when you come into God's house, only you know what you're doing. You ain't got to tell everybody else what you're doing. Notice something else, Dale. She didn't ask nobody. She didn't come in and say, Jesus, is it all right if I do this? No, she didn't ask nobody. She just did it. Let me go ahead and tell you something. As long as you're in the Lord's will, and as long as you're following God, hey, you just go ahead and do it, amen? You just go ahead and do what God lays on your heart. I believe that folks in here has got enough discernment about us that we can just worship God and not have to worry about it. They going to come a time that David's going to be up here, and I know David, so this is going to happen. They going to come a time that David's going to be up here, and the band's going to be playing, and the choir might be singing, and somebody come to this altar, and he lays that bass down and come down and prays with him. That's going to happen. You go ahead and mark it down. That's going to happen. Well, he ain't got to do that. Somebody else can pray. But I know David. And if David does that, I ain't saying a word. I'm going to say, go, boy, you go ahead. I got your back. don't worry about it. Don't worry about what everybody else says. You just worship the way God wants you to worship. I got to think about, you know, she was criticized. A lot of people say, well, that's just emotional. That's just kind of being charismatic. See, that's the problem. We're worried about being labeled. But go ahead. I'm showing this. King David in 2 Samuel chapter 6, King David danced with all his might. Now, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do, okay? The Hebrew word for dance, y'all ready? Is dance. Blowed your mind, didn't it? Y'all didn't know I know Hebrew. The Hebrew word for dance, it comes from the word kara. It means to dance or to whirl or to twirl. He was dancing with all his might. Well, you ain't got to run up. You ain't got to act like that. You ain't got to get out in the aisle and do that. I know you ain't got to. But if God tells you, you better. David was criticized for that. His wife criticized him. And she was barren the rest of her days. Let me tell you something. When somebody's worshiping God, best thing for you to do is keep your mouth shut. And don't worry about what they're doing. You just worry about your own little pew. Amen. But King David danced. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. The Bible says, and Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tremble in her hand, and all the women went out after her with trembles and with dance. In other words, now you got a bunch of them dancing, worshiping, and honoring God. Why were they doing that? They had just come through the Red Sea. It was time to worship, amen? God had just done something awesome in their life. It was time to worship. God had just moved in a special way. It was time to worship. Sometimes worship is invited, and sometimes worship is demanded. The next time God answers a prayer for you, and you walk through them doors, you ought to have it in your mind, God is not inviting me to worship today. He's demanding that I worship today. Amen. She was criticized. Let me move on. I never thought about this like this. David, I've preached this. You've heard me preach this multiple times. Melvin, I've never thought about this. When Jesus defends your worship, don't worry about it. The Bible says in verse 7 and 8, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not. Let her alone. You don't worship to impress the pastor. You don't worship to impress the deacons. You don't worship to impress the one sitting beside you. You worship to impress him. It's all about him anyhow, amen. Hey, the supper was for him. Judas should have kept his mouth shut. That supper was not for Judas. It was for Jesus. And when we come into God's house and we start singing and the band starts playing and the music starts, hey, it ain't about you, so don't you worry about it. It ain't about the one sitting on the other side of the church, so don't you worry about what they're doing. It's all about him, amen. It's all about lifting him up. It's because he's the one that answers the prayers. He's the one that raised Lazarus. He's the one that did it. So he's the one that's going to get all the glory. Somebody, I don't know who this was, but the name was Matt Redman. They said this. In the end, worship can never be about performance, something you're pretending or putting on. It's got to be an overflow of your heart. Worship is about getting personal with God and drawing close to God. Amen. So, how many has ever had one of those must worship moments where God didn't invite you to worship? You just couldn't help it. Amen. Jenny, can you come back and sing that last song again? I want you to stand to your feet. And I'm not telling you to worship. I'm not demanding that you worship tonight, but I just want you to think about right now, just think about the greatest need you've ever had, other than salvation, the greatest need you've ever had in your life that God come down and took care of it. Maybe it was a child, it was sick or fever or whatever, a financial need, a bad doctor's report, whatever. The greatest need you've ever had, and God come down and took care of it. I want to invite you to just come down to the altar and thank him for it and worship. Worship ain't got to be about shouting. Worship ain't got to be about running. Sometimes it can be about getting on our knees and just saying, Lord, I love you, and I thank you for being there for me when I need